I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thanks for joining me again today for Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the offshoot show, if you will, of our Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And on this show, as you know, we always like to talk about business, but I always like to preface it by saying, I either want to focus on how we massively enhance customer value or how we really highlight transformation that our clients get. We're going to go off the beaten path just a little bit today. Today, I'm privileged to be joined by Adam Torres, who is an absolute media giant, okay? Like, has done over 6,000 shows, is that correct?
Over 6,000 interviews, and you're making me feel like I've been doing this a while.
He's had 9 shows. He's been around the block a few times, so I feel like he could probably teach me a thing or two. But really, what we're going to talk about today is not just why podcasting is such a great thing, because obviously it is. You've got two people here who've been doing it a very long time. But what we're going to really talk about and get into a little bit more is the importance of branding. We're going to go deep with that. We're not going to talk about it from the standpoint of websites and logos and colors and graphics and leading with what really excites you and how people feel and all that stuff. We're going to go a lot deeper than that. We're going to get surgical today. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, Allison, man, I'm really looking forward to this. And it's going to give me an opportunity to tell the story from another angle of client experience. And really, I'm excited to be on the show with you.
Fantastic. But before we get into that, I think you really need to tell my audience just how much of a rock star you are, a little bit about your background. I mean, my goodness, you've had 9 shows. You've done over 6,000 interviews. You really have been around the block probably more than anybody I've talked with.
Well, first off, thank you for that, Allison. But I will say that I feel like I get a little bit too much credit. I think that my take on this industry and what we're doing is just a little bit different. So the way I look at this is a marathon, not a sprint. And my side of things, when I think about building a brand or anything else, my background's actually finance. So, I mean, when I started in this business, I didn't know anything about it, about branding, about the first book I wrote, Allison True Story. My mentor said I had to write it. And I'm like, why am I going to write a book? That's stupid. And he's telling me, no, you have to, because you want to brand your business and you want to brand, tell your story. And I'm like, my honest to God answer is broke people write books. Like, why do I care about a $5 product? Like, I was managing a little over a couple hundred million dollars. And I was 14 years in that business, by the way. Yeah. And so I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder. I didn't know, you know, you don't know what you don't know. I started in that business or in that field when I was 16. So I was, you know, I just had a very like limited view on the world. But I put out that first book and things changed. Like, I was on speaking tours as far away as China. I was getting feedback and I'm like, wow, like sharing your story actually matters. Like, I thought I was just this boring guy. Like, who cares about a financial advisor or your local? Yeah. But apparently a lot of people did care and it completely changed my life.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, I'm of that small percentage of people that believe that a book can really elevate your platform, can really elevate your platform, position you as an expert, and just kind of separate you, I think, from the millions of people out there who call themselves experts. I mean, writing a book is no joke. I don't care if it's a short one or a super long one. I mean, it takes a commitment and a focus to be able to do that. So kudos to you for that. So if you started in finance and you sort of like, my sense is, as you were talking is, you got into finance, it was easy. You got into it as a teenager. You learned more and more about how the business worked, you know, which is really what a lot of us do when we start out. But somewhere along the line, you realized, you know what? I want to be doing something else. I want to be going much bigger. I want to be like taking my message to an even higher level. Tell us a little bit about how you made that transition first.
I think to me, it's a bit divine. Like, I don't really take credit for this because realistically, at this exact moment in life, I had, you know, two different things going on. I had my financial advisory firm, so my RIA, and then I had this little marketing company that I had started with another co-founder, Chirag Sagar, and we both kind of had, we were doing other things at the same time. And When we started the podcast, that's when things started to change. Like the concept of having that one-to-many platform, that concept of being a larger media outlet, like all of that, that vision started to crystallize. Because up to this point, based off of my first book, believe it or not, the funniest thing is you do a decent job on something, people start asking you, can you help them? And people start asking me, can I help them publish a book? And I'm like, no, I'm a financial advisor. Are you silly? Go to a book publishing company. I don't know what I'm doing. Did you see the first book I published?
They figured you must have figured something out.
Yeah. So right? These were also people that I wanted to manage their money. So I was like, oh, so I created this anthology series. And then it was like Chicken Soup for the Soul, but it was featuring entrepreneurs and professionals. And just fast forwarding, I mean, we've published over 400 authors in that best-selling series. And now we printed hundreds of thousands of books. So in the last 9 years. So, but the podcast, like that's what changed things. And when we started seeing kind of the demand for that, and when we started seeing the, like, I was averaging in the early days, like right now, I like to say I'm a little bit of a part-timer. I'm only going to do like 1500 interviews this year. But in the early days, I was doing, you know, 70 a week plus. My record's 91 interviews in a week. That's my record. And that's a 7-day schedule. And you can imagine what that looks like. So, I mean, going through kind of like those changes, it really was the demand. Like, I can't really explain why. And then I realized that there's just not enough of us out there. Way more individuals that want and need help telling their story, and way too few podcasts and way too few individuals creating content, helping, like they're creating platforms that allow them to tell their story. So that's kind of what pulled me. It was more so like impact. I just had this certain feeling that in the route I was going in finance, at least the way I was doing it, other people do it differently. But for my practice in Century City and Beverly Hills, like basically the game is, you know, less clients, wealthier clients. So my sphere of people who I was talking to on a daily basis, I was making more money, but I was talking to less people. And I was like, do I really just want to be another, you know, rich guy who's doing this? And I'm like, you know, I just feel like I'm supposed to be doing something more. So heading into this field, you know, people thought I was crazy.
I'm sure.
Like, why would you like, okay, now you're going to go do a podcast?
Well, welcome to the world of being an entrepreneur. Like, a lot of us think we're crazy. A lot of people think we're crazy.
Yeah. But I seen the power to like help people, and I seen the power to educate people on how they can get involved and how they control their own narrative. And like, that's just set me on the journey ever since. And it's led to experiences that, you know, I never thought I'd have.
Yeah. So you literally went from managing people's money to help them, you know, essentially have a nest egg for retirement or for the next venture, whatever it is that they were doing, right? So you were kind of helping them see their vision and their purpose in that way. Mm-hmm. And so really what you do now, or what part of this movement is for you now, the way I read it is that you're taking people sort of through the same journey that you went on. Right? You knew that there was more out there. You're kind of demonstrating how to do it. And so what you've done is you've created, you know, this media empire to where people want to do what you do.
Yeah. And it's weird that it worked that way, because that wasn't the plan or the intention. So if the book thing happened that way, and then during COVID, so a big way that we earn, you know, revenue at this company is people book me for conferences and other things like that. And I'll go on site, and we call it our broadcasting program. I'll go on site for a conference owner or a meeting planner, and I'll interview their VIPs, their sponsors, their speakers. And we create this huge content series and package. We're the only company that I know of that does it at this scale in the world. But so that's a big part of our business. And so what happened is COVID hit. When COVID hit, there were no meetings or no conferences, right? So then what were we going to do? So then that evolved the business some more. So that was, again, for whatever process of, I didn't make that up, whatever divinity led to this, or whatever led to this, people started asking me, just like the early days of books, people started asking, hey, can you help us launch a show? And now to date, we've helped business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, brands launch over 250 shows. It's kind of insane. So it kind of built on itself.
No, I get that. I get that. I mean, we've been on the air 6 years. And I remember when I started, it was a little bit like you. I just had this idea that I wanted to try it out. I didn't really necessarily know everything about it. I just knew that I wanted to do it. And I just figured as I went along, I would learn and I would figure it out. And along the way, I've gotten to, I mean, we've done close to 500 episodes now. So it's like small
Wow, potatoes. That's amazing. No, it's not quantity. First off, wait, time out. That's great. Right. Like, that's no joke. Most podcasters, I'm told, don't get over 24. So, kudos to you.
Well, you know, we've gone about it in a very surgical kind of way. You know, I always wanted to make sure that who I talked to and what we did was kind of on brand for us, which is going to lead into my next question here. And then when we started the business show, like the second year that we were on the air, you know, I wanted to focus more. At the time, we were all coming out of COVID. Everybody was reinventing themselves and all of that. And so I wanted to focus on what really makes a client experience unique and really talk to people about who are doing really creative, innovative type things in their business. And we do in-person, online here. We're a firm believer in that. But part of our brand to this day, and I mean, I just speaking for myself here, the way I like to look at it is that it's, we become a little bit more of a disruptor in that regard, you know, and that we're not really doing things the traditional way. A lot of people wouldn't lead with a podcast, for example. You know, they would lead with something else and then maybe add it later on. And we didn't do that. You know, I just wanted to go right out of the gate and say, no, this is what I wanted to do. And so a lot of people that we talk to are a little bit like what you're saying. Hey, I just had this idea. Yeah. I wanted just to try it out.
Yeah, for us, that's completely the case. And it wasn't. And so when I went, then I guess that's where it started. And then if you're going a little bit further, then as I received, you know, more clarity around this, then when I did end up going full time and closing down my firm, I basically went back in time, so to speak, the same process I used when I was getting into finance. So, I mean, when I was in finance, I read, let's say, 7,000 to 10,000 pages. I had to get my Series 6, 7, 63, insurance license, CFP, all those other things you can think of. And so when I decided to go full time, then I said, okay, now I'm in the entertainment business. I need to study it the same way I studied finance. So I went back and I studied all the hosts. I studied the Johnny Carsons, the David Letterman, the Jay Lenos. I studied everybody. I'm going all the way back to vaudeville. And what I learned was that just like finance, there's so much data, so much information out there that you can dig and you can really learn so you don't make a lot of the same mistakes that that maybe some others have made in the past. Same thing for this business.
Yeah.
So once I started taking it as a business, then it became one, really. It was no longer, like, once I understood I'm in the entertainment business, it's a whole new focus in terms of brand and otherwise.
Yeah. Mm. So basically what I'm leading into here is talking about, obviously, how to use podcasting to build a brand.
Yeah.
But let's talk first, before we get there, about why do you think the concept of branding has changed so much over the last few years? I mean, my sense is that when we talk about people being a branding expert or having a personal brand or being able to have a brand in business that really means several things, that's a very different take than where we were even just a few years ago. Why do you think that is today?
Well, I think the market has changed, and I'll give you an example. So we, in the last couple of years, I teach a 8-week branding, personal branding course and lead these big cohorts, and we do all these other things around branding. So I have a lot of case studies and a lot of data around this. I've helped a lot of people through these things. But what I like to share is when I first started, my financial advisory firm, when I left my first big company, because I had that big company brand over me and that big corner office and all those other things. Before I wrote my book, I remember, and I was a little ahead of the curve there. So on LinkedIn at this time, or I should say the big financial advisory firms wouldn't allow you to post. Like, you couldn't post any content. You couldn't talk about your story. You couldn't do anything because they didn't want that under their brand. So I was one of the, I would argue, pioneers in that space at this time, because at least in my group of professionals and individuals, I went to the company and I fought it all the way up. And I said, well, how about this? Well, if the big thing is that you're worried about your brand, how about I take your brand off of all of my social media and I'll say I'm a financial advisor at a top financial advisory firm or whatever the wording was at that time, and I'll take it off. And it got approved. So I realized back then, I was like, people aren't doing business with me because of your brand. They trust the infrastructure, yes, and they trust the compliance and they trust all the other things, but they're doing business for Adam, and they, because they want that relationship in that type of business. And I remember the shift when I started getting, and this is a true story, I remember getting a statement on Facebook Messenger. It was a multi-million dollar statement, and somebody literally messaged me on Facebook Messenger and said, hey, I heard you're a good financial advisor, and they said, can we meet? And they sent the statement. It was a couple million dollars. And I was like, I never talked to this person, anything about this person. What happened? They did a post on their wall and they said, hey, I'm looking for a financial advisor. Does anybody know? And one of their friends tagged me on Facebook. They went through, they looked at my content, they saw my book. And boom, look at that. They connected. And that's not a small... So I realized people were making buying decisions.
Yes.
For brand alone. And this is a smart person. There's a multi-million dollar deal, right? And so it's no longer just... Social media was no longer for like kids or this or that or for fun. It was like multi-million dollar decision right there made.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so amazing. It changed. But the market changed. Like
by you posting, you're right. The market did change. And it's still changing today. But oh, yeah. what you're talking about with the posting and the sharing and you're offering tips and insights and a little bit of kind of pulled the curtain back and this is how we do things, right? Which
probably
wasn't what a lot of other people were doing at the time. But really what you're talking about is that you were able to build trust with that. And so when people went to see that, they felt like this guy is credible. He knows what he's doing. He's not a flash in the pan. I want to talk to him kind of thing. So you help people make the decision for you.
Well, I'll throw something else out there for others that are listening to this that are saying like, oh, I can't do that. Or, oh, like, but, you know, I'm not that type of person. I'll throw this out there. During this same time, I can't say people normally, if you're working and you have all those beautiful certificates like you do in back of you right now, Allison, people know that you've done some work. You're educated. They trust that you have a certain level of competency. But that doesn't mean that they're going to lean into you because a lot of people might have these things. So at this exact same time, which is absolutely hilarious, Allison, I'm the world's worst podcast host and the world's worst host. So my very first show was called The Gratitude Show. And I would put out content and I had one question, Allison, what are you grateful for? And I would stream this way back when on Periscope. And there were people all around the world that were watching and tuning in. So I wasn't doing that to earn business. Like that was just part of my way of spreading positivity, love. It lifted me up. I was lifting other people
and you
up.
You were introducing yourself to thousands of people on a daily basis. So you were essentially kind of starting the buyer's journey then, even if that's not what you wanted to call it.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at on that piece, though, is there was personal involved in the brand. So you asked me your original question, which I'm leading to, is like, what's kind of changing? To me, what's changing is you got to have some personal in there.
Yeah.
The personal makes all the difference. Like, even if it's just a little bit, you don't have to be out there and you don't have to be influencer status and do all these other things. But if you don't sprinkle in any personal, I don't care how big you are of a CEO or whatever you're doing or how small, by the way. If you don't sprinkle any personal, then people no longer accepting that. Like you can get on there and do this.
Well, I think you're getting at a really important point because I feel like, and this is what we teach a lot of our clients that want to start doing retreats and small events in their business.
Yeah.
We teach a hybrid model. And so a lot of what I tell people is, you got to lead with the result that you're promising people. You can't just lead with the logistics and all the things that they get because that's ultimately what people buy. But what helps you get the result, your personal story is usually a big piece of that because people look for themselves in our stories. Mm. So the more, to your point, that we share about us, then the more people will relate to us, the more they will trust us. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement. And it comes in two varieties, one designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition
to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Yeah. And authenticity. Like, you just got to, if you're 100%. Bad, you got to be bad. Like, my first 300 plus episodes, Allison, I'm telling you, I don't even know if I should call them episodes. I should call them recorded episodes on Adam's iPhones that aren't edited because he never listened to a podcast and didn't know they were supposed to be edited and just uploaded them. And we built an audience for it. And on those early episodes, I'd literally be apologizing to the audience like, hey, by the way, I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to probably do some more episodes this week because I don't know why, but people keep booking.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm thinking now in retrospect, like, I wasn't planning this, but in retrospect, if I was listening to somebody do this, and especially because I would argue, not saying that I'm brilliant, but most educated individuals, your doctors, your financial advisor with a certain level of experience, your surgeon, your lawyers, like, they're not out there creating content.
Yeah.
And since they're not out there creating content, when you do, if you are in that position and you are highly educated, you stick out because your day-to-day conversations are not normal. You may take them for granted and think they're normal, but most people in the world don't have your access or education.
Yeah.
So now when you're leading by example and when you're telling the truth at the same time, and I don't mean being vulnerable, like sharing story. I mean, to me, there's different layers and levels of vulnerability. So when I use that word, I'm just saying I'm vulnerable from the standpoint of, I'm like, hey, I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to do this podcast thing. Did I ask a good question on this one? I don't know.
So my mind is relatable, right? You just want to come across as being a real human and not like a robot or some brilliant person down here.
I'm just being me.
Yeah. So let's fast forward to today.
Yeah.
And everything that you said, I agree with 100%. But here's what I'm just going to interject this one thing, and I would love to get your thoughts.
Please.
Here's what we're seeing today. There's a million people out there online today trying to stand out.
Yeah.
Trying to build a viable, what I call a virtual footprint, a way to communicate with people, a way to bring people into your ecosystem. And being real is a big piece of that. Being authentic is a big piece of that. Telling stories is a big piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make yourself really stand out, especially with a podcast, by doing all of that when you've got thousands of people out here trying to do the same thing? It's like a whole bunch of fish trying to like live together in the same little small area of water.
Yeah, respectfully, Allison, I kind of don't agree with the premise of the question because I don't think that's the reality of it. I think that's what people think and they've been told. But let me give you an example and give you some data. So over 150 million or 115, 120 million YouTube channels, give or take, depending on where you get your data from. YouTube's been around for quite a bit of time. And the podcasting space specifically, where that's where I'm an expert, there's about 4 million podcasts. Of that, there's, let's call it, I don't know, 300,000, depending where your data from, episodes that are released weekly. And on YouTube, let's call it 60 million that are released at least a week, like active channels.
Yeah.
So when people tell me that the podcast space is saturated, I'm like, it's just an uninformed opinion. The podcast space hasn't even started yet. And I'll tell you why. The podcast space, the reason why there's only about 4 million podcasts is because it grew out of radio. It grew out of that type of thing. So in radio, you had host read ads, which means that big shows could only be monetized. Why? Because the host has to read the ad and the ad's embedded in the show. So who's going to sponsor a small show? Probably nobody. YouTube, early days of YouTube, there was dynamic ads, which what that means is, and it was through their YouTube partner program, that you could put an ad on a video, take that ad off, and another one get put on automatically without the creator doing anything.
Yeah.
So the creator could focus on that. That's really just become popular in podcasting in the last, let's call it, since COVID. So what's going to happen now, and I have a book that's going to be coming out later this year. It's called 1 Billion Podcasts, The Future of All Media. One day, and I'm going to be giving this book away. Like literally, I've just had this conversation so many times. This is a complete giveaway, even though I've published many, many books, have a bunch of bestsellers, but I'm giving this one away. Like literally, I'm creating it for that because there's going to be 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, 100 million. There's going to be a billion podcasts one day. And the reason as well is because, and in the book, I'm going through all these case studies and reasons of why I believe this is going to be the case. The reason is because when you think about even places like Africa, India, you look at all these other places that are coming online with these, what I don't know a better word for it, but let's just call them dumb phones, not smartphones, but dumb phones. They cost, let's say, $20 or less, and the price is going down lower and lower and lower. So you have literally hundreds of millions of people that are going to have access to these phones and to this content, and audio is the simplest way to do it still, and it will be. So what's going to happen is, in X amount of years, whatever that is, when somebody looks back at this and now there's 100 million podcasts, it's going to look absolutely silly that we're talking right now about a saturated podcast market with 4 million, less than 4 million podcasts and like 300,000 episodes being released a week.
Well, I mean,
in month six of YouTube right now.
Right. Well, I would agree with that. And I guess I should have been more clear with my question. I wasn't just speaking about podcasting in general. I was speaking about the online space in general being very saturated with people trying to get attention. So to your point with podcasting, you're right. It's a very unique angle to get more eyeballs on you, which is one of the reasons why we've continued with our show. And one of the reasons why I tell all my clients, look, if you don't want to host a show, that's fine, but you need to get yourself on shows because
absolutely.
Right. So yeah,
if we're talking about the broad market, I think it comes down to managing your expectations.
Yeah,
that's really all we're talking about here. I'll give you, even though I won't go further into podcasting, we talk about that in a minute, but I want to compare it to Instagram just for the sake of to give you an idea of what I mean by managing expectations. You put out a post on Instagram, you get, a couple hundred likes, right? Like how much time, if you think about what you're vying for with any content you create or social media, how much time did those likes actually take a person? Like seconds. You put out a podcast and you have 10 downloads. And let's say it's just for sake of ease, let's say they're all hour long interviews, which they might be longer, they might be shorter, whatever, but just make the math easy. That's 10 hours. So think about it. You have 10 hours of time from 10 people versus, some seconds from some other people on Instagram. Not saying one platform versus the other, by the way. I'm not saying both. I use both, right? I have a ton of things. Shameless plug, Ask Adam Torres on Instagram. Sorry, Alison.
Yeah, but
I use both. But the point is just managing expectations. If somebody gave you 10 hours of their time on that one end and the podcast side, that's 10 hours they could have been watching a Netflix episode or something had, $500,000 production value per episode. Or they could have been watching a movie, millions of dollars, $100 million movie, right? Like they could have been doing all these other things, but they spent time with you and your podcast. So what'll happen with the podcaster specifically is they might get down on themselves. Oh, there's only 10 downloads or 20 or 50 or 100. You got 100 downloads. That's insane. Yeah. Like that means if you were doing a keynote in front of 100 people, you wouldn't be kind of like, calling it in and saying it was like whatever, you do 1,000, whatever. So now juxtaposing that with Instagram, not saying anything's wrong with Instagram, but it's just understanding like how much time you're creating, effort you're putting into the content, what your expected outcome with the content is. And if you can kind of like manage those two things, then you can have a better progression in whatever type of brand you're looking to build.
That's a really good point. I'm glad you mentioned that because this is just what I hear from a lot of other business owners. And so to your point, I love the idea of just, look, let's just manage expectations here.
Yeah.
You've already said it. This is where the market's going. This is what people want. And it's like, if you're not paying attention to that, well, that's not your, the online space's fault necessarily, right? That's just you not taking a much bigger, view of that. So how would you relate what we're talking about to the client experience? Like I'm speaking to the business owners who are listening, who maybe aren't as invested into podcasting, but maybe they're thinking about it. And maybe they were having a lot of the tricky thoughts that I was talking about. Well, there's just so many people out there. How am I going to get noticed? Relate what we're talking about to the business owners who want more visibility, not just for their businesses, but to actually be able to create and have more deeper client experiences.
Yeah. I think the first thing I like to think about is the goal. Like it's really the goal. Like, is it more, are you looking for more revenue? Are you looking for a stronger connection to your audience? Are you looking for, are you building a personal brand? Like, start with your goal in mind and then have realistic expectations on what you can invest. And I don't mean just money. I mean time. I mean headspace. I mean uncomfortability in yourself. You want to build a personal brand and you're scared to stand in front of a camera. It's okay. I was so, Allison, I was so scared to do my first show. My first show, I didn't even use my real name because I was deadly afraid that people would know that it was me. I did over 1,500 episodes before I, like what you're doing right now on a camera, I did over 1,500 episodes before I could do that. I would forget my name. I'd be like, this is, I couldn't do it. I did over 3,000 episodes before I could be in front of a live, I could do an in-person episode, like, and like interview somebody even in person, not virtually. I did like, I think close to maybe 4,000 episodes before I started doing like interviewing people in front of crowds. Like, so I'm not like this 9-year journey. So if somebody's listening to this and they're like, I can or can't do something, it's okay. But you can like push yourself a little bit further than what you were able to do before. If you couldn't take a picture before, try and be in a picture. Like wherever you got to meet yourself somewhere, because ultimately whatever you design, and notice what I, when I talk about it, when I think about it, I'm thinking in models, just like you're building your business. Think about it the exact same way. You're not going out there to make this product once. You have to design and create a model that's going to allow you to continually do this, because it's not going to be a one time you put something out there and it takes off, goes viral. And then that's it. If it does go viral, great for you, but that's the beginning of your journey. It doesn't end. This is just a part of your business and a part of your life. It does become, for the people that do it well, it's just part of your lifestyle. But for certain generations, mine included, that's different. But if you start thinking about it, and if you just kind of think about mentally, all that's happened is that the online's merged with the offline. Once upon a time, I was going to the the Chamber of Commerce meeting. It's the same thing. Yeah, it's just your Chamber of Commerce connection, so to speak, might be the people that follow you on Instagram.
Yeah.
Could be. It's for me, like for me, and they could overlap.
This is one of the things that we help our clients with, because a lot of people that come to us, they either have one way that they do their business.
Yeah.
That's what they're known for. And they've kind of run into a point where they're either maxed out or they want to, you know, expand and offer some other thing, fully take advantage of all of their expertise.
Yeah.
But really what you're talking about is you're just making your brand, you're elevating your brand and your vision by going through what you did.
Yeah. And I can't prove this yet. Well, I kind of can, but I won't say that we've hit the ultimate scale. But we have in some of our profit areas. And so what's going to happen, which becomes very interesting, is when done right, some of the things that you spend marketing expense on will then become profit centers. So I'll give you one example on our end. In the very beginning, when I first started this, I had to beg people to come on the show. I had to do this, that. I had to pay for booths to get in front of conferences and audiences and things like that. So now what's happened through the years, it didn't start this way, but it flipped. I have so many invitations, so many other things that became a big profit center for us. So your marketing expense, when done right, and all this, to me, I still say this to the, and some people will be, oh, Adam, whatever, you're full of it, whatever. I still think that it's just consistency over time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm the greatest host ever. I don't think I'm all this. I just think my level, but then I look at the greats, and when I really look at it, and when I say this name, by the way, I'm not comparing myself to this person at all, but I'm just, remember, I research these things. I look at all the things that happen in history. When you look at the early days of Johnny Carson or Larry King or things like that, Larry King was interviewing people in a restaurant in Miami. He was interviewing little kids, anything to drive traffic to bring people in. Like, you're interviewing little kids at a restaurant to try to get people in so that there's more business. And I mean, Larry King's one of my idols. He's a great.
People tend to have short attention spans. You know, what you're saying is we got to keep all this in perspective. You know, if you're
I'm 9 years in. The greats.
And I feel like I'm
30
still
years
learning,
plus.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
And the greats, they did it 30 years plus, and that's just talking about when they were on air with certain shows. They were doing it before then. So how can I expect this like unrealistic expectation that I'm going to say some magical words that are going to earn somebody's trust, make them want me to listen to me? That's too much pressure. But that's, you know, pressure, the public, Allison. I can't do that.
And that's, it's really unfortunate because I think, you know, you learn so much in how you do things. And it's like when I sit here and I think about the first few episodes that I recorded, I was in my kitchen. I have my computer on my kitchen counter, you know, and I had like this little bitty microphone that I was using. You know, I didn't have like the setup that I have now. Yeah. And it's like, I didn't know what I was doing, but I just thought, you know what? I'm going to try this and just see how it goes. You know,
I botched an episode earlier today. I'll botch one tomorrow. I might have another botched one later today. I don't know. Like, tune in and you can laugh at me. It's all good.
What's your best, last question. What's your best piece of advice for people listening who maybe they're feeling like, you know, maybe they're missing something. They wish they were further along. You know, the typical. Yeah. What do you say to that?
I'd say that I started out as the worst podcaster in the world, like, period. Didn't use his own name, couldn't be in front of a camera, couldn't do anything. You could do a Zoom call if you can do any of the stuff that we're talking about. I remember I had a cell phone. I didn't have earbuds, and I'm like, it wasn't even edited. And there's some kid somewhere that's going to start a show, hopefully, and they're going to have even less tech than me, and they're going to be even more behind than we are. And they're gonna have huge success. So it's not too late. All of this is just starting. We don't even understand what this is gonna look like in multiple generations. But I do know one thing. This is the first time in history that we've all had the opportunity to be a part of telling our own stories. In the past, that was a luxury only for the wealthy or the privileged, who owned the printing presses, who owned the, go back far enough, they were able to read, they were able to write. Other people couldn't. They had the papyrus. I don't care. Like, you go back far enough. This is the first time that we've all been able to participate. So even above making money, all these other things, like, get in the game, like, for yourself, for your legacy, for your family, for your connection to humanity.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. How can people connect with you if they want to learn more about the work you do?
Yeah. Instagram, Ask Adam Torres. If you're working on a show, a book, anything else, just want to hang out. I do check my own personal Instagram. So Ask Adam Torres, shoot me a message. Love to connect.
So I love that. Awesome. So thanks so much for making time to chat with me today and tell your story.
Oh, I appreciate everything you're doing, Allison. Keep it up. And congrats again on the 500 plus episodes. Yeah, come on. That's exciting.
We're getting there.
It's amazing. Congrats.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. So, folks out there listening, if you are interested in connecting with Adam, learning more about what he does, you heard him, you can go right to his Instagram, Ask Adam Torres. You can find that handle in the show notes below. If you are interested in connecting with him, you know, like he said, you're thinking about a show, you hear us talk about that all the time here. You're thinking about a book, anything to kind of help elevate your brand, reach out, get his take on that. And on that note, if what we talked about today resonated for you, hopefully it was helpful for you in a number of ways, and you know somebody in your world who needs to hear this episode, please just copy the link and send it to them as a free gift from me, or you can connect with me on my site, www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L, and you can connect with, hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner and write to me, and we will take care of it for you. Thanks again for always following us, for all your support. We really appreciate every single one of you. That's what I got for you this week on the show, folks. We'll see you next time. Bye.